Well, a big thank you to Pastors David and Rochelle for having me along here this morning. I'm from CAP head office, which is based in Newcastle, over there in the east coast of Australia. I am a regional manager as well, so I oversee our partnership with churches in New South Wales, Country Queensland, and the Northern Territory. So that's kind of the area that I cover. So I'm married with three kids, and my wife and kids are here this morning. Great to be here. I've been a pastor as well for about 12 years. I've been a church planter for the last 2 years, and I'm working with CAP as well. So church planting, working with CAP. So that's a little bit about me, but I look forward to talking to you after the service. To begin with, I want to ask you a question. How did you learn about managing money? Now, a few of you will no doubt say, my parents diligently taught me about managing money, and that's great if you're one of those people. But over 50% of Australians don't have a budget at all. So over 50% don't operate with a budget. Only 1% of Australians ever receive professional financial advice. 1%. In fact, 57% of Australians surveyed over the age of 35 wish they'd started saving sooner. One in four wish they'd never had a credit card, which is not surprising because I don't know if you know this, the average credit card debt in Australia is about $4,000. And if you pay that off at the minimum, 25 years to pay that off. Listen to this, this is true statistics, okay? This is our country. It's good to talk about on Australia Day. 12% of households spend more than they earn each year. 12% spend more than they earn. Another 42% spend everything they earn, just breaking even. And 17% have less than $100 in the bank at any given moment. So you've got roughly 60% of Australians that are just week-to-week living. That's how they survive, okay? I want to tell you a little story. I used to be a wharfie. Who's familiar with what a wharfie does? Yeah. So we're an island. Everything that comes in or out of Australia goes by ship. And so wharfies are the guys that are unloading and loading ships. This is before I was a Christian. That's a whole other story. But I used to be a wharfie. The story is told on the wharves where I worked that one day they were loading a steel keg. It looked like a beer keg. And they were loading that onto a ship, and it fell, and it punctured a small hole in the side of the keg when it fell on some steel. And the wharfies thought, you beauty, and so they propped it up in the hold of the ship, and over the next 2 days, whenever anyone was on shift, they were getting little styrofoam cups, and they were putting it under the hole, they were filling the cups, they were drinking it, and the story is they were coming out quite rolling drunk at the end of each shift down inside the ship. Anyway, whenever something gets damaged, of course, you've got to figure out what it is and someone has to pay the bill. So when the clerks got into the paperwork to find out what it was in fact a pickled monkey. Pickled in alcohol on its way to a laboratory. So for 2 days, they were drinking pickled monkey juice. Now, I don't know if it's true or not. They told that story where I worked, and it's a good story. It just makes me think, though, about this area of finances. It feels like a long bow, doesn't it? It does like this because so many people, your neighbours, your workmates, whoever they might be, they have the bright, shiny exterior going on. They look great, but inside things are falling apart. And that happens all around us, you know. And that story just takes me there. And we know the truth that only Jesus can transform from the inside out. He's the only one who does that. And this is a God-breathed ministry that CAP is, using the area of finances to turn that around, but also bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that's what we're on about as a ministry, that transforming from the inside out. Yeah, I was doing a little bit of research on my way over here to WA and I read a couple of stories and I read this, that on average about 40,000 West Australians are living on less than $18 a day. 40,000 West Australians live on less than $18 a day. Last year, unemployment in Perth increased 23%. I read a story of one guy who said, when I'm down to $5 a day, I've had to make a choice about whether I go out and look for a job, do volunteer work, or eat. He said, I've made the choice not to eat. That's Perth. That's Western Australia. That's the stats that I was looking at for here. The question is that how we are meant to live? Is that the plan for our lives, to live like that? And if it's not, and I'm hearing you yell out no, does the church have a part to play in changing that? Yeah, amen, right? The church does have a part to play, and that's what I'm here to talk about. And your church has begun that journey with CAP in having that part to play. Most Christians I know, they want to make a difference to people who are struggling. Most Christians I know want to make a difference. The question is, how? How do I do it? If I just give someone money, I don't know what they're going to do with that money. There's all those kinds of questions. So how do we make a difference? And I want to tell you about that this morning. I'm going to look at a passage from the Bible just quickly to set the scene. Now, I'm just reading from the ESV. Now, unfortunately, I didn't give them the passage up the back, so they're not going to be able to put it on the screen, but I'll happily read that out to you. Luke chapter 16, verses 9 through to 13. Sounds like a confusing passage at the start, so we'll explain it. Luke 16, 9 through to 13. I see people writing that down. They're going to check it up later, which is good. Luke 16, 9 through to 13. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much, and one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust you to the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. What this passage is telling us is that there are two types of wealth, unrighteous and righteous wealth. And it's comparing unrighteous wealth is the wealth of the world, and righteous wealth is our eternal blessing, okay? Now, it's not saying that all wealth of the world is unrighteous. It's saying that compared to eternal righteousness, it's not measuring up, okay? Well, I think we can understand that. What this passage is telling us is this, is that we have to be faithful with unrighteous wealth, with worldly wealth, in order to be entrusted with the eternal, in order for God to bless us with the eternal. And what is the passage saying about how we are to be faithful with unrighteous wealth? Well, right there at the start, what it's saying is this, is that we need to be generous with our wealth. We need to be generous with what we have. And God will use our generosity to reach out to people who don't know Him and get what this passage says. And then using that, they will see Jesus. They will see Jesus in your action. They'll see Jesus in your generosity. And when they see Jesus, Jesus will use that to bring them to faith. And it says one day, they, those people that were impacted by your generosity, will welcome you into your eternal dwelling. I mean, just think about that for a second. You know, I come to the end of my race. I pass away. And I'm instantly before Jesus. And as I enter eternity, there are the people that God used me to be generous to, that God used me to bless. They are there and they're clapping me on the back and they're going, welcome home, brother. I mean, don't you want that? I mean, I don't want a few people there. I want like a town. You know what I mean? I want to get lost among them. Seriously. Like, so what this passage is saying is we must be generous with our wealth. God will use your generosity to impact this community of people. He will use your generosity to see them come to faith, and they will welcome you into eternal dwellings. It's an incredible passage. And then comes the warning, doesn't it? What's the opposite of that look like? It's the person who refuses to be generous because money has in fact become their master. No longer Jesus, no longer eternity, no longer those goals, but instead money and wealth is its own goal. And the passage warns you can't serve God and money. Money makes a great servant for the gospel. It makes a terrible master. Okay, that's what this passage is saying. A great servant, but it makes a terrible master. You know, we heard just before a little ad on the TV that I loved about the Cap Money course, and we've trained a few people up in your church to run that course. This course is all about making sure that money is your servant for the gospel and not your master. That's really the heart of what we're about. The Cap Money course teaches people how to manage your money so that you live within your means, so that you have enough money to pay your bills, and perhaps most importantly, so that you have enough money to generously sow into kingdom work here in your church. That's what we're about with CAP. You know, CAP only works through the local church. We only partner with the local church. We don't work outside of churches because our heart is for the Lord and it's for His church. Okay, that's how we operate. So who will benefit from the CAP Money course? Everyone. I want to make that clear. You know, sometimes we get this impression that the CAP Money course is only for the down and outers, the people who are really struggling. And there's someone in church going, you know what, I'd like to do that course. Maybe if I put a trench coat on and I pull a hat, you know, down over my eyes, I can turn up and sneak in. This course is for everyone. We have had financial advisors do this course. I mean, sometimes these guys play on a bit of a different level than us, but we had a guy do this course. And a year later, he went, oh, I found an extra $25,000 I didn't know I had. And then he was able to give that to ministry, though. Like, that's the benefit. But do you see what I'm saying? A financial advisor came and did the course. It helped him understand exactly where his finances were at. And then he understood, what he was able to give, what he was able to keep, how it was all going to work. That is the benefit of the course. Everyone you know will be blessed by doing it. So, you know, entire churches will put all of their people through it, and you see an upswing in giving in the church because people realize they've got a little bit more money, and then us pastors are happy as well. So that, yeah, like, you just, seriously, if you start operating the system, you'll realize just how much you spend on coffee, and that can be a frightening thing, right? Maybe you don't want it, no. And then, of course, non-Christians will benefit. Because as you figure out your finances, as you get that sorted, it allows you to give more freely, it allows you to participate more generously in kingdom work, and the community around you will benefit. Now, I haven't personally met them, but I'm told we trained Kathleen, Susan, and Kathy. Is that right? Are they here this morning at all? Up there, there's one of them. So these guys can talk to you about the course. They can explain to you what the course is about. And please make sure you put your name down to sign up and register for the course. Now, I told Rochelle that she needed to have at least 50 course booklets here because so many people would sign up. So please don't make a liar out of me. So make sure you go and sign up afterwards. So it's all about implementing a practical budget, setting up your bills to be paid regularly, and learning to use cash to help balance your budget. In the last few years, we've seen thousands of people in over 300 partner churches go through the course. Over 90% of those attenders said it was life-transforming. There you go. However, I want to tell you that's not all that CAP does. This is what we talk about as our preventative measure. We want to help people not get into financial difficulty. The other thing that we do, well, there's a couple of things we do. Another thing we do is we set up what's called debt center churches, and we have three here operating in Perth. Now, a debt center church is different. It's to help people who have fallen off the cliff. CAP Money's the barrier. Our debt centers are to help those who have gone over the edge. It's to help people who are in bad, unsecured debt situations, $20,000 on credit cards or whatever it might be, and that happens a lot. A lot. Had a 21-year-old girl recently with $30,000 of debt spread across personal loans and credit cards, basically on clothes. No assets, just... But we want to reach these people. We want to tell them there's a better way, don't we? That's what our debt centers are about. The way our debt centers work is we train people in the local church who go into client homes, meet them in their place of security, meet them in their place of comfort, gets all their financial information, we get every possible detail, it gets sent back to head office in Newcastle where our trained financial experts negotiate with creditors, stop interest rate if we can, create a sustainable budget. We go back into the client's home, we present all that information to them, and basically then we enable them to pay out their own debts with their own money. And we take the pressure off for them by handling the creditors. That's what a debt center does. So, yeah, it's an incredible ministry, guys. It really is. So if you want hands-on information about that, Emma, who you met earlier, Emma is what we call a center manager. So she actually operates one of those centers here in Perth. So if you want to hear countless stories about the impact it makes, then talk to Emma later. Last year, we saw nearly 100 of the clients that came through our debt centers come to faith. Nearly 100 of them come to faith. We provide holistic debt management. We know people. We get to know them. We meet them in their home. And it's all completely free to the client. We are Australia's number one debt management charity. We're Australia's only debt management charity. But we're still number one. Come on. We're unashamedly interested in two things. These are our two goals: freedom from overwhelming debt and discover hope in Jesus. Amen. That's totally what we're about, okay? We describe ourselves as evangelists who also do world-class debt counseling. That's our heart, right? Evangelists who do world-class debt counseling. If you want to know what it's like to work in our head office, we've got all the accountant-type people, which I'm not one of, but anyway. So we're all sitting around in booths and we're all crunching numbers and doing that stuff, but then one of our center managers will lead someone to Christ. They send us an email that says, here's what happened, here's the person's story. Up on the wall in head office, we've got a big red manual fire bell. And we jump up, I'm one of the few people who actually receives those emails, it's awesome. Jump up and you give the big red bell a big crank and it rings throughout the office. Everyone stops work and gathers around. Everyone. We read out the story and then we stop and pray for the new believer in Jesus. That is our office, okay? I want you to get a heart, like you guys are now partnering with this ministry. By doing this Cap Money course, I want you to get a heart of what we're about, because I know, looking at these people who were standing up here to get baptized, I know we've got the same heart, right? It's the same heart. We want to see people saved. We want to see God move. And really, that's what we're about. Our particular call is to do it through finances, but we're partnering with you guys in doing that. Currently, we have over 900 client families. We manage over $21 million of unsecured debt. Last year, we had over 300 families become debt-free. 300 families. Families become debt-free. So what I want to do is, we're going to put a video up now where I want you to see, this is a real client, a real story from a center in Sydney. Now, it may take a second because we had a little bit of technical difficulty. Oh, no, look, they seem to be on it. So we'll watch this story and then I'll talk to you a little bit more. That's all right. We have a lot of these client stories that we'll be able to show you. So I'll just tell you a little bit about Kim's story. So Kim, as you said, her partner was a crack addict. When she was pregnant with, I think, child number 5, he walked out and left them with nothing. She was then evicted from her home. And so, heavily pregnant with 4 other kids, she was living in a car. One of her sons, her oldest son, was 6'4". And trying to sleep in the car. And that's the situation that Kim found herself in. Someone told her about CAP, and anyway, our center manager went out and met with her. At this stage, she had found some housing and met with her in the home. And basically, the first thing Kim says in that story, she began to encourage me and just tell me that, you know, you'd done the best you could, and began to be the first probably positive influence in her life. And who knows how long. Anyway, the story goes on and Kim begins the process of working with CAP. And eventually, to cut a long story short, Kim came to faith. And she came to faith in a dramatic way. She tells a story that she woke up one morning, the car had broken down on the Saturday. She woke up and went to her oldest daughter and said, "We need to go to church." And her oldest daughter said, "Mum, the car broke down." She says, "Yeah, Jesus did it and so can we." They walked 13.7 Ks with the five kids just to get to church. Now, I asked Kim, "You didn't have to walk home, did you?" And she said, no, the church got us home, which is great. What I want to tell you is over the last few months, I've rang the bell another three times for Kim's children who have been coming to faith. Okay? That's just a little snippet of what it's on about. This is Robin and James. Robin and James tell the story of living on trains. They had nowhere to live, so they found they could ride around on trains and try and sleep on trains. And we were able to help them out of that situation. 67% of CAP clients have missed meals when we get there. 69% have visited their GP due to stress, and 40% have been prescribed medication, finance-related stress. One in three have either considered or attempted suicide. This is real, right? These are people all around you that desperately need help. One in four couples have split up due to debt. So CAP Money is our prevention, and our debt centers are all about the cure, helping people out of that situation. Our newest ministry, which we've just started late last year, is Job Clubs. Job Clubs are all about helping the unemployed back into work. They don't operate like a normal employment agency. We're not an employment agency. The critical word is club. It's a social group where we bring the unemployed together to mutually encourage and support one another as they go through the struggle of finding work. A study came out of Harvard recently that said when you're not just doing upskilling, like how to interview, resume writing, all of those things, but there's also that social encouragement, people are 2.63 times more likely to find work. So we've just started this job club scenario. We trained seven churches late last year who are now beginning to operate job clubs, including one here in Perth, to reach out and help people back into employment. I think that's a really timely ministry for WA at the moment. So that ministry is now up and running. We've got the one going here in Perth. And of course, being CAP related, you are free to share the gospel as much as you like and as creatively as you can through social encouragement, providing meals, putting on barbecues, whatever it might be. So that is the latest ministry that we have up and running. The great news is we receive no government funding as a ministry, which means we're not tied to any restrictions about the gospel. You know, we're free. We're just out there, people. So, absolutely. So that's CAP. That's who we are. You guys have started on this journey with us. The basic CAP money to be able to help equip everyone within the church and then begin to use it outside the church to help coach and encourage people. We do CAP Money Youth, by the way, so chaplains are using it phenomenally well in high schools, teaching people basic budgeting skills. That's all part of the program as well. So it's absolutely brilliant. So I want to tell you just quickly that where the heart of Christians Against Poverty, CAP, where it comes from. Our founder, John Kirkby, has been the head of CAP since he started it about 20 years ago over in England. John Kirkby was a high-flying, wealthy businessman who basically, in a financial crash, lost everything. Wasn't a Christian, and he lost everything, where he was with his three kids and lost his wife as well, actually, but was living in a one-bedroom flat, just had nothing. A local pastor reached out to him and led him to Christ. As he began to put his life back on track and sort things out, he was about to re-enter the business world. And he felt God say to him, "Nope, not for you. I've got a plan for you. I want you to help other people who are in this situation." So in his one-bedroom flat with a laptop computer, he started Christians Against Poverty. That's our history. That's where we begin. We're now operating, of course, across the UK, in New Zealand, Canada, and Australia. Okay, so from there, it's just grown and spread. It's a needed ministry. So John has written a book about his experience, and it's called Nevertheless. I want to challenge you to read Nevertheless, and I want to challenge you to read it to the end. Because if you're anything like most people, you'll get halfway through this book and you'll say, John, just let it go. Forget the ministry. The guy faced that. How do you start an international charity? The guy faced that many challenges, that many times capped, sat on a knife edge where everyone around him was saying, you need to shut this down. And he was like, no, God called this. It's going to happen. And it gets to the point where you're like, dude, just let it go. Keep reading. Keep reading. God is always faithful. And it comes through in a major way. I want to give you a copy of that book this morning. Completely free. No strings attached. Well, there is a string. I'll tell you that in a second. All you need to do to get a copy of that book for free is you fill out this card, just your details, and you come and swap it for a book after the service. The catch is this: every 3 months, we will send you a newsletter on people who have been coming to faith, client stories, things that are happening in the life of CAP. Really not that difficult, is it? So if you fill out your details, every 3 months, we will send you a little update on what's going on in the life of CAP. So we would absolutely love you to take a free book. We'll just swap it for a card. So there should be a card near you. If you need one, there's still more out at the desk itself. The only other thing I want to mention is this. As I said, we don't receive any external funding. The way we are funded predominantly is through what we call life changers, individual Christians who choose to support the ministry. Now, I know as a church, you guys are already doing amazing stuff, and I've seen the missionaries that you guys support. So please, if it's going to take away from that, then don't. Like, support your church's ministries. But if you feel a call of God that you want to support what CAP's doing as well, then all you need to do is tick a little box up here which says, I want to become a life changer. And then you can fill out your bank details now, if you can, if you know what they are. Or if you tick the box, somebody from head office will ring you to say, hey, you'd want to become a life changer. And we have a suggested amount here of $10 a month. So we're not talking, you know, a phenomenal amount of money here. We're talking about half a cup of coffee a week. But if you would like to support us, then that's how you go about it. So I'll swap you for a book. If you want to support, you need to tick the box. It's that simple, guys. Just want to read to you, just in closing. This is a quote from Christian missionary Elizabeth Elliot. She said, here lies a tremendous mystery, that God should be all-powerful, yet he summons us to cooperation. We are honored in being given the opportunity to participate in his good deeds. Guys, that's what we're here to talk about this morning. This is God's work, God's ministry. I'm so thankful that your church is already partnering with us in CAP money. So thankful for the heart that I've already seen that you have in this church. I mean, praise God, I do pray that you continue to see so many more baptisms. And if you'd like to partner with us, then that's great. Let me pray, and I'll bring my to a close. Lord, what a blessing to be here this morning. Lord, so exciting to see people being baptized, Lord, and that was not everyone. There's going to be more in the second service, Lord. Lord, what joy it is to see people publicly declaring their love for Jesus. Lord, I'm just so excited about the ministry that this church has. Lord, I pray your blessing on their CAP money course. I pray lots of people do the course, Lord, that you would give them control of their finances so that they could use them for your glory, for your kingdom, for your blessing, Lord. Lord, I just want to pray for the people of this church that as they use their wealth generously, Lord, I pray that they would be welcomed into eternity by loads of people that have been blessed through that generosity, Lord. So, Lord, I thank you for this church. I thank you for David and Rochelle. I thank you for the leadership team. I just pray your blessing on them, Lord, and thank you. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.